born out of necessity. Boom. Conversations.
All right, fam, we are back like we never left. We are here for another season of The Boon Podcast. It's me, Candace. I'm your host. And normally, I am here with my brother, Purvey. Y'all are used to seeing my brother, Robert Purvey, sit in the co-host seat. But today's conversation, we decided to switch things up just a little bit and do it a little bit differently. Because today, we're talking about building a volunteer team. And let's be real. Boon. People might see us going on tour. They might see us having podcasts. They might see us doing a whole lot of things, but we are still at the grassroots level. All right. We are still at the grassroots level and we are a team of volunteers. Like we all have full-time jobs somewhere else, but we're a team of volunteers. So I thought it might be really, really cool to kind of shift things just a little bit and kick Purvey out of the co-host seat and have an opportunity to put him into the guest seat and talk to some of our team members. So today in this conversation, you're going to have an opportunity to hear from some of our Boon team members. And we have an incredible team. Some people who are more behind the scenes that you may never see that play as such a tremendous and influential role in making things happen for Boon and all the things that we do. But today I've got with me here in the studio, I've got my boy, Chris Cox.
What's good, family? It is Chris Cox. And let's just be honest, y'all, the producers thought that it would be a better option aesthetically to have me in the studio, you know, with the backdrop and everything. So Purvey, I just hate to be honest with you, but you know, wherever you are, if you're tuning in,
hey, man, this is what happens when your contract is not renewed. You get put on the screen. Like, so Chris, congratulations. I'm proud of you. You got the backdrop. Hey, and here's the thing. Candace didn't even tell me.
So you hear it first, ladies and gentlemen, Purvey's contract was not renewed for season two.
And they flew me in 30 miles to be here.
They canceled my plane ticket, Chris.
Listen, he had a whole flight. No, that's not. Listen, Purvey, you know, listen, I ain't gonna lie, y'all. If we're talking about building a team, like, it's important to be able to have some candid conversation. I was on the phone with you earlier today and I told you everything that I thought, did I?
Yeah, she talked to me like she was Shirley.
But you know,
she's my sister. She can get away with that. She's one of the few people that can get away with talking to me like that. So it's all.
Ain't nothing but love. You know, you need some people in your life who are going to keep you humble. You know, it is my role. My personal role, my personal mission in life is to keep you humble, brother. Mm.
And you do it. She said, I don't care. You flying all around the country. So you got to get it right, brother. you ain't that busy. We all busy. I said, yes, ma'am.
I said, we all busy. Ma'am. We all got things to do, you know? But also we got Ashley, you know, so we don't often, you know, see the behind the scenes roles work, but Ashley, oh my goodness, Johnson.
I'm so happy to be on camera today.
Right. Look, you over there multitasking, but yeah. I love
it. No, this is incredible, y'all. We have the best time. This is the most fun. The Boon Podcast and Candace Purvey have done such a great job that all I'm doing back here is just having fun, letting them, the superstars, shine.
Man, listen, you make us look good. I'll say that. But anytime you're trying to execute a big vision or just a vision period, just carry out something that God has placed on your heart for either your ministry within the local church or whatever, you know, you need people who are on your team, right? Because we cannot do it alone. And I think that it's important to recognize where your gaps in leadership are, you know, where your gaps in your skills are and what kind of people you need around you to make things happen. You know, even when it comes to this, the podcasting space, like I'm like, me hosting by myself is like, yo, I need you, brother. Cause I feel like we've got great chemistry. You know, this is why your contract is renewed for another year. We have great conversation and I recognize you have learned me and I have learned you. You know, when I pause or you know, when I'm like at a brain space, what do they call it? Yeah. When I'm having a brain gap, whatever it is, when I'm spaced out and I don't know what to say, you jump in and you are able to just fill that space. And even Ashley, the way that you work behind the scenes, like you make us look good. You know, some of the things that you all might see happening, you know, in front of camera, Ashley's all in the chat, in the text message, texting us different things, making sure that the conversation makes sense, mm-hmm. You know? So it's important to know where your gaps lie within certain areas in order to place those people around you to make the vision come to life, right?
Oh, absolutely. Hands down. I think, Candace, you've done a really great job at spotting people's greatness. Mm. And asking them, okay, I really see a need for you right here. It's almost like you have created positions, if you will, for people's giftings, and that being on the team is always so appreciated when a person considers you not just for what they need, but for what your actual abilities, you know, cater to.
And I'm glad you mentioned that, because I think that it's important as we're thinking about different ways that people can serve and volunteer. It's important to lean into people's giftedness.
Absolutely.
You know, their giftedness, and even areas that they might want to continue to grow in, mm-hmm. and giving them opportunities to get experience in that, to serve in that, to lead in that. Because the ministry or the organization is having a need met by having them serve. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you're giving people an opportunity to serve in ways that they had never served before, to exercise a gift.
Yeah. And what I love about what you're building with the team here at Boone is the diversity of gifts, mm-hmm. And being able to see people with different gifts and to know, hey, I need this type of person. I don't need a whole bunch of people with the same gift mm-hmm. on my team. I want to look at these different people and say, okay, I definitely need this person because they can do this. And I need this person because they can do that. And coming from someone who, you know, I'm from a small town in Alabama, but I had a very large family, mm-hmm. which means I grew up with a lot of cousins, which mm-hmm. we spent a lot of time outside playing different sports.
What they call you?
I can't tell y'all my nickname right now.
Oh, come on.
You know, everybody got a nickname.
No.
I'll tell you, how about this? I'll tell you my family nickname.
We need the nickname.
My nickname is, it actually has Boone in it almost.
Really? What is it?
Booby.
Listen, this PG podcast y'all, just turned.
Y'all got to know.
It's like Booby off Friday Night Lights.
There are people in my hometown who really don't even know my first name. Like, they just call me that. So y'all got an exclusive.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I just.
But anyway, I grew up, we played a lot of sports. I was the very sports inclined person, but I remember, like, you know, one of the kind of traumatic moments of my growth as a teenager was standing there on the side waiting for somebody to pick me to be on their team. You know,
sorry.
But the person who was picking wasn't just picking because they like you or not, mm-hmm. you know, because I was very liked by my cousins, but they were looking deeper than what they liked to see. Is this person really competent? Do they have the mm-hmm. skill level? Mm-hmm. Can they really, what value are they going to bring to the team?
That's good.
Then, you know, when we get to like the last two, then we're like, okay, let me pick the one I like the best.
Who we gonna have fun with? Right. That's real. That's really real. That's really
like who knew we were learning leadership skills playing pickup basketball and 7-on-7 football, right? And it's so true, because you're picking your team based off who can help you win,
yeah.
who can
yeah.
help you accomplish the goal. And so, like, that's so dope, Chris. And that's a trait that Candace has, and that's a trait that we're hoping other leaders pick up on or tap into, because as we dive into discussion about volunteers, it's so necessary for you to be able to decipher and discern who plays the correct position.
Mm-hmm. And Candace is magnetic too, because Chris, how you were just saying you were standing on the side like, pick me. You don't even got to be in the line. Candace going to find you. Right. You could be in the grocery store. She's just going to say, hey, I see something in you. I'm recruiting you. How does this sound? Will you be on my team? And it's just that it's really been that easy and that simple.
Well, I appreciate all of these flowers. I don't want them. No, but seriously, I really do appreciate it. But I think it's one of those things where it's bigger than me. You know, I think this whole thing is bigger than me. I really want to take a second and kind of shift the conversation a little bit off of me and onto somebody else who I think we really need to give some flowers to. All right. So for a second, y'all, I wanted to just take a break and pause from the conversation that we have been having. And I want to do something that I feel like is essential for every team to do. I think every team needs to be able to celebrate the people who are serving alongside them, who are putting forth the effort and the energy in the day-to-day work. Because the reality is, all of us on this team, we all have full-time jobs somewhere else, right? Let's just make a statement with that. We all have, right? You, yes? Uh-huh. Yes. You. We all
absolutely.
Have.
Absolutely.
It's a fact.
We are not hurting for things to do, are we?
Absolutely not. So, you know, but you make time for what you want to make time for.
That's
and so
yes.
you go the extra mile when there's something super important, like, boom.
That's right. Yeah, that's what I'm talking. Give me some. I feel that. Yes. So today, and this is not to knock anybody here. You know, as I've been talking about, you know, y'all have been rolling with us, you know, and just being tremendous supporters of Boone. But there's somebody who I really want to give some flowers to, right? Now, and that person is Blair. Now, Blair. Woo! Hey, babe.
Hey.
So Blair serves on our team as our admin, right? And Blair, tell us a little bit about you in a way that you serve within your church. Just tell us a little bit about yourself.
Right. So I've been going to my church. I'm currently at High Calling Ministries, plug real quick. Since I was about 15, I'm now 33 years old. I serve in the youth ministry and I serve on the young adult ministry called Nexus. I've been a part of this church for so long. It just feels like so natural. It feels like family. So that's like my full time. That's like my first job. I feel like is ministry, but really my second job, first job is really like Chick-fil-A. I work at Chick-fil-A for the past 10 years now. So Chick-fil-A, youth ministry, young adult ministry, that's how I spend most of my time throughout the week.
Yeah. And so for some of you all who might be tracking with our podcast. So, Chris, you remember the episode that you were on with Ty?
Yes.
On discipleship.
Yes.
Ty is Blair's youth pastor.
Okay. Okay. Yes. Sweet.
Ty is Blair's youth pastor. She's grew up in the ministry with him. And then also now they serve kind of hand in hand within the church, overseeing the youth and the young adult. But Blair also does work with Young Life, right? And you're also you do training. What's your role at Chick-fil-A? You do training, right?
Yes, I'm the executive director of leadership development.
Executive director of leadership development. And let me tell y'all something. I have never not one time heard Blair say, if I say thank you, she has never said my pleasure. You have never said that.
Really?
Never. In all the conversations we've had, you've never said it. So you know what? All y'all Chick-fil-A people that say my pleasure, it's a front. It's like you step into the restaurant and it's like this cloak that falls over you and you got to say my pleasure, because you don't be saying, do you say that in real life? For real. Let's just be real. An insider opportunity to talk with someone at Chick-fil-A. Do you say that in your real life, Blair?
I don't say that in real life. No.
That's so funny. But so for real though, like seriously, I wanted to take a second to give you your flowers. One, because your heart of service. One of the reasons why I wanted you on our team is because your heart exudes through text message. The first time we talked, it was via text. And I remember looking at my phone and reading the text message and feeling your love. And feeling your authenticity and feeling just exuding from the message, like, man, this girl, like, it's the Holy Spirit is really in her and it's on her and she really lives to serve. Like, you serve at your church, like you said, like it's a full-time job. So why? Because I know that there's a lot of people who probably are trying to figure out, how do we get people to serve in the capacity that you are serving in your church? What is that about? Can you talk to us a little bit about that?
Yes, I think the very first time I started serving in ministry, I was inside. I was being served. So I was a young teenager. I was given responsibilities. They were kind of like putting titles on me before I leaned into them. Like, it was one ministry I was a part of. It was called Rare Essence. It was just all young girls. And they gave me a little trophy and it said Mrs. Rare Essence. And what that embodied was, like, I just kind of rallied the girls together. I would always be talking to everything. So they kind of spoke over my life without me even knowing, like, that's what I wanted to do 10, 15 years plus later. So I think them handing me the keys very young kind of made me kind of gravitate back to that later in life. Even though I kind of didn't know what I wanted to do when I was 18, 19, 20 years old, I was pursuing a computer engineering degree. And after time, I was just like, man, I don't want to do that. I want to do ministry. I want to work with God like full time and I want to serve as people full time. So I think what really spoke over with the young, I'm sorry, not the young people, but like Ty and the other mentors I had in my life, them speaking over my life in such a big way kind of made me come circle back around.
There is power in that. So much, yeah. So much power in just the seeds that are planted in childhood and the way that has the potential to bear fruit later on. And I know, listen, I'm tremendously connected to your church and I know lots of people there, have different conversations with them there. And I know that so many people are blessed by the ministry that you give and the way that you serve. So just thank you, Blair, for your service to High Calling Ministries, to Boone, even the way that you just call and check up on me, you know. So thank you for who you are and the way that you serve. The world needs you and needs more people like you who are really doing it for the right reason. So thank you for being on our team and being a part of this conversation today.
It is my pleasure.
I'm done. That was dope. Thank you, Blair. Now, my hope for this conversation today is that we are able to inspire somebody. Because I know that there's somebody listening to this conversation who is doing ministry solo. You are like out there by yourself doing solo dolo ministry. You are setting up the chairs. You are printing out the papers. You are planning the songs. You are doing everything and they go above me. You're even ordering the snacks. I mean, like everything is your job. Like whose line item responsibility is it? It's yours, right? So my hope for someone in this conversation today, whether you have a team that you're already serving alongside, or maybe you're doing something solo, my hope is for you to feel some inspiration, for you to be inspired, for you to gain just a little bit of knowledge or insight from our team so that you can be better equipped to build yours. So let's ask some questions. So I have my jar, my mason jar. Right. My son's name is Mason, so he would not let me not say that his name is Mason. I've got his Mason jar. And in it, there are some questions. You may have heard the question before. You may not have. But it's some questions. It's about building a team that I'm going to throw out. And if you want to jump in and answer it, then go right ahead and jump in and answer it. If not, I might put something on somebody. Okay. I might put something on somebody.
I'm here for it.
All right. First question. What strategies can be used to build trust within a team?
You want like something practical with every leader listening is to have a team building workshop or a team building day where the whole day is about the teams working together. I know here in Dallas, there are several different organizations and institutions that have come to your church and we'll do some team building activities. Or if you don't have the resources to bring somebody in, you do have a resource called YouTube where you can get on and find videos and find things and do a team building exercise with your group that has nothing to do really with ministry or programming, but also do with team building where they learn how to lean on each other.
Mm-hmm. So good.
Trust falls. Y'all doing trust falls over there in
Dallas? Not me. I don't meet the size or weight limit to do trust falls. Like
you doing the catching.
Yeah, I got it. No, I'm not even catching because you don't. No, I'm good.
Anybody else want to jump in on that? Building trust.
Yeah, I was just saying how we model consistency matters. How we show up when we give our word to do certain things helps build trust. It's just the rate of consistency I feel like is what will help you continue to build trust within your team. People need to know that you're a man or a woman of your word and that when you say something, you know, to the best of your ability, we know things happen and we know, you know, life sometimes and different things of that nature, but you shouldn't be consistently inconsistent. So finding that, you know, that pace of consistency so that people know what to expect when they get you, I feel like is what can build trust with your team.
For sure. Mm-hmm. That's so good.
That's good. That's good. One thing I think also builds trust is time.
For sure.
You know, you can say I had some time with some people. People want to like instant. Nah, I'm not going to trust you right off the bat. It's just it's time.
Yeah. And sometimes even in that, we have to manage our expectations. Well, like don't expect someone to trust you their first day there.
That's right.
So give them that time to build that trust.
Yeah. That even goes around just from leadership within the church, period. There was one church where I served at and I had been on the job for like a week and I said something to the pastor and something like, you trust me, right? Mm-hmm. And he looked at me like, he said, no. Dang. Crush my ego, but I get it. Yeah. You know, I get it. I get it.
Like, I don't know you.
Right. I don't
know you. Yeah. And I say this about influence, which is super important for leadership as well. I've said that before, that, you know, influence and trust are not a privilege of position. Like you don't get trust just because you have a position. Mm-hmm. Yep. It's something you earn the rights to through time.
Yep.
So
absolutely. Absolutely.
But don't y'all think like I think the way culture is situated, where everything comes quickly, I think people feel like trust should come quickly too. When that's one thing that takes time, it takes you going through some things. It takes the ups and downs and the highs and the lows. But within a culture where everything comes to you quickly, people think you ought to automatically trust. Like, if I'm working with you for 3 months, you should automatically trust me. And that's not the case. So I think it's what Chris said. And Chris didn't know, like, he was tapping into Candace's bag, which she told me earlier when she was trying to be Shirley, and tell about consistency, right? Like, you got to be consistent and show up that shows that you care. So I don't know what y'all was talking about before I hopped on, but it's okay. I take it with love.
And I just want to jump in too. I think communication is king. I mean, people, like Chris, you were saying, there are certain times where life is lifing, and you can have a person who has a squeaky clean track record, but maybe they're going through something in their life, and being on the team is not a personal thing, but being sensitive enough to say, are you okay? Like, okay, you missing deadlines? What's going on with you? Is something that we keep saying all the time we want to do, like, not boom. I'm saying just in general, people say all the time, like, yeah, we care about the person, care about the people. And it's like, no, but we really need to see that in practice more by communicating and following up. That trust is this two-way stream, that if you're out of pocket, you could trust me now to say that, hey, you're still on the team, it's all good, but we got to cover some things up. You know what I mean? Like, it's fellowship. It's real communion with people, and people are humans. We're messy. Trust
going
is
on.
Yes.
Yeah.
But trust can be maintained even through the seasons of life.
Yeah. So my sister, I was talking, having a conversation with her the other day, and she was telling me about one of the core values of her job. She's in education, and the core value is trust courageously.
Mm.
And what I like about that core value of trust courageously is that it honors the fact that trust can be hard. It can be hard to trust somebody. But when we trust courageously, you know, like, it's one of those things where, like, hey, I know that it can be hard, but because of the God in me and seeing the God in you, I'm going to choose to, you know, just stretch myself a little bit and trust that hey, you actually have the best interest and you have the best intentions at heart. But then also, like, with some ministry, like, you know, our first job is to reflect the love of Jesus, right? Our first job is to be pastoral with people. And as we're building a volunteer team, how are we honoring and acknowledging the fact that people have real life things going on, mm-hmm. right? And how are we pastoring them and ministering to them and serving them amid the real life things mm-hmm. that are happening in their lives? And the way that we're either lean in and show the love of God during those times, or the way that we choose to kind of fall back and be like, man, I can't trust them. That can shape their view of the church, their view of God, and their willingness to serve in your ministry too.
Yeah, it's not downplaying the time they give you, right? Like, every leader, when it comes to your volunteers, it's with your leadership, you have to give times for people to volunteer, right? I think you can't demand all of their time, but make the time they give you worthwhile. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what helps build trust. That if I stack up chairs every Wednesday after Bible study, because I can only get off work at 6 and make it about 7:15, I trust that you would take that as being a worthwhile time of me giving.
That's right. That's especially after work. Like, come on, man. You know, let's talk a little bit about next question I pulled out. Let's talk about onboarding. OK, onboarding new volunteers. Right. What are the best practices for onboarding new volunteers? What have y'all done in ministry to bring on new people?
Background checks. Make sure they not no little creepers.
Listen, that's so real. I actually was doing a youth conference recently, and I was talking to somebody. We're gonna do an episode on background checks, Save Sanctuary, those, like, just all that kind of stuff. Just because I feel like it's so essential to have conversations around, hey, how do you really need to be setting your ministry up in order for it to be safe for people?
Mm-hmm. Because, like, Chris, you serve at a major church in Atlanta, but across the country. So I know you guys have to have a strenuous process, or a very concise process when it comes to volunteers, because, like, you can't just be that church and say, oh, you like working with kids, come on. And the next Sunday, you back there with the kids.
That's right.
Yeah, absolutely, man. We just did actually a Next Gen Summit, which was like an all call for people who want to volunteer. And I think we had like 98 new volunteers that wanted to show up and serve. And
wow.
It's like, we want them to get in there as quickly as possible. But there's too much at risk to just push people mm-hmm. quickly through the process. So, yeah, we do have background checks. We have from the background check, we have our family pastor reaches out, put them all on a Zoom so that you really get a chance to know what the ministry is, because we believe in asking our volunteers to make a calculated commitment. Mm. So sometimes we're asking for a commitment, but we're not telling them what all has to be calculated in that commitment so that they know what they're signing up to serve for. Mm. And so it's important, because we don't want to just get new volunteers. We want to retain volunteers.
That's right.
So it's not about how many volunteers we can get. It's how many can we keep. Mm. And one of our core values of our church is just honesty. Like, we want to be honest about what this is going to cost you and what it takes to be effective in these different roles. And sometimes that's different for different roles, but it still needs to be, that conversation needs to be had on the front end so that people can make a decision as to whether they can give up that time and space.
You said something real good right there that we need to lean into. Because I think a lot of times in the church, when we have volunteers, we try to make things convenient for volunteers. Because mm-hmm. we're like, oh, they're volunteering. How can I make this convenient for you? Because you're not getting paid for this. So, you know, we try to make things easy. But the reality is, if someone signs up for something, like you said, when someone signs up for something, then that means they made a commitment to it, yeah. right? They committed to, hey, this is what I want to do, right? And in honoring their commitment, there's things that they're going to have to do. So what you said that I really want us to chime in on is that it's going to cost you something.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. And this is different for me, honestly, because I am used to, even though I've had a volunteer team, I'm used to my team kind of serving through me almost. Mm. But at the church that I'm at now, we really lead through our teams. And so our staff is there to support our teams, but we lead through them. Mm-hmm. So we really empower our teams. Yeah. But I'm also a firm believer that this has just been a personal motto of mine for people that who I put on my team, is that if you share my platform, you share my convictions. Mm-hmm. So a lot of this stuff. A lot of the stuff that we ask of our teams has to become a conviction for them. They have to feel mm-hmm. like mm-hmm. I'm doing something wrong if I don't show up right. Cause that's mm-hmm. how I feel. And it's afforded me the ability to be on certain platforms, but mm-hmm. that's only because like God trusts me with the platforms as much as, you know, I'm willing to be convicted about certain things. Mm-hmm. And so that's a big thing, especially for the team that you're building, because you don't want a team around you that doesn't care about the stuff that you care
that's
about.
Right. Come on now. That's
like right. They can come treat people now. Wrong and not care, but I care deeply about little mm-hmm. things like that. So, or not little, but you know, I care about things like that and you don't care. It's like, man, we need to have that conversation first.
Ooh, that's good. So. That's good. Yes.
Darren Kaiser has a book called Stop Recruiting and Start Retaining.
Shout out to Darren Kaiser.
He's a book I suggest every leader gets and reads through when it comes to volunteers, and just talks about how when you train your volunteers to take ownership of something you trust, they begin to trust it more and you trust them with it.
Yeah.
And it is not just a process they go through. They really fall in love with the vision of what's set for the ministry. And that's when they take ownership of it. But if they only take ownership of what's in your heart and not the vision, they then become your minions mm-hmm. and not volunteers mm-hmm. of the house.
Mm. That kind of goes back to one of the things that Ash and I were talking about earlier. You know, we've served together on, you know, other teams outside of Boone, and we were talking about someone that we're both connected with who just did a phenomenal job of casting vision. Mm-hmm. Every time we got together, they were casting vision about, and it would be like they were preparing a whole talk for like a whole message. I mean, like with the slides and everything. And it's one of those things where it's like, at first I was like, oh my gosh, what are we doing here? But then after a while, I was like, yo, this is so dope, because it gives them people on the team an opportunity to hear from the leader. Yeah. And it gives you an opportunity to just, okay, I see. This is where we're going. Let's go team. Let's stack hands. Go team, you know? Mm-hmm. So how have you all casted vision for volunteers? I used to serve at one church where a pastor said, this is the same pastor told me he didn't trust me. where he would say that this is Olu Brown. Shout out to Olu Brown at Impact Church in East Point, Georgia. But he would say that the three, he might not have made this up, might have been somebody else, I don't know. But he would say that the three principles of casting vision is: one, cast vision; two, cast vision; and three, cast vision. Mm. You know, it's one of those things like, and then when you get tired of casting vision, you keep on casting vision, because that's when people are finally starting to get it, you know? And it's easy to just have somebody to show up and do a task, mm-hmm. but not have them to show up and really understand the broader heart of the mission and the broader heart of what it is you're trying to do. When people understand the heartbeat behind it, then I feel like people move differently. Because you told me to move this chair here, so I moved this chair here. But if I know that this chair is being moved here because someone's going to stand on it later, then when I put that chair there, I'm going to make sure that the chair is on a flat ground.
That's right,
you follow? I move the chair differently when I understand the purpose of me moving the chair.
Right.
So how have y'all done that? What does that look like for y'all to cast vision for volunteers?
Like it's, one of my mentors said, where there is no vision, there is division. Because when there is no vision for what you're doing, the people will create their own vision that will create division in the ministry. Right. So for what I've done in the churches I work for is, I meet with the senior pastor to get the vision of the entire church. Mm-hmm. And then we build out our next gen volunteer handbook based off the vision of the church and the vision of what next gen should be in cohesion with the senior pastor. Because a lot of churches, what happens is you have next gen leaders who run off with their vision of what next gen should be. And they can't get a lot of things done because it's not the same vision as the pastor has, or what the pastor doesn't know what you're doing. And in most Black churches, y'all know how it is. The pastor got to know what's going on. Mm-hmm. Right. And so it's one of those things to where whatever's in that handbook has been put together with the vision from the church and together with the senior pastor is the vision for next gen. And we run by that handbook. Now, every handbook is different for certain churches because churches have different visions, but I would suggest having a volunteer handbook that has the guidelines, the expectations of every volunteer for next gen based off the collaboration with you and senior leadership.
You got one you could share?
Yeah. I mean, it's we're talking about trust. One of my main volunteer built out our volunteer handbook, and she did an amazing job. And so, yeah, we can definitely share that with you guys.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah, I'll jump in on that conversation about vision. I feel like whenever there is no vision, whenever, and this just speaks to my conviction about why I continue to share vision, because really that's what it is. Like my pastor, Dr. Darius, he calls it that he says, if you're going to be a leader, you have to be comfortable being a chief reminding officer. Mm-hmm. Like, like you got to continue to remind and remind and repeat and remind. But where there's no vision, whenever there's no vision, people are left to do ministry in the dark. Mm-hmm. And I don't know about you, but like this takes me back to my childhood again, too. Like I'm so familiar with my parents' house that there are times when I walk in the door at night, I won't turn the light on. I'll just move in the dark because I'm familiar with it. And sometimes you assume that people who have been around for a long time and are familiar with the house can navigate it well without you telling them what the vision is and turning that light back on. And, but whenever you do things in the dark, whenever, you subject yourself to doing ministry in the dark, there are a few things that happen practically when you're in the dark. It slows you down. Mm-hmm. I don't walk as fast through the house right. in the dark as I do with the light on mm-hmm. because I'm slowing down, trying to feel my way around, trying to make sure mm-hmm. I don't bump into the, it increases the likelihood of injury. Mm-hmm. I could easily stump my toe. I could hit something or run into something that I didn't anticipate being there, mm-hmm. you know, when I came in the house.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot that can happen that, you know, it's too dangerous for us to keep the lights off. And that's what I call it when you're not casting vision, is that you're keeping the lights off. So turn the light on. Light equals revelation. And you should continue to reveal to your team what the goal, what the mission, what the vision is, so that they have, you know, that ability to navigate it well. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
I agree with that. You know what? And I think that that's probably one of a gap for me in my leadership of our Boone team. Mm-hmm. I don't know that I cast vision well enough for everybody. And a huge part of the reason why is because I'm like, listen, everybody got a full-time job. It's like the third time mm-hmm. I've said that. Everybody got a full-time job somewhere else. And everybody is volunteering. And because I'm trying to be sensitive to that, we hop on a meeting. I'm like, all right, let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's get the business. I'm a very bottom line kind of person. Like, let's get the business. Let's knock out what we got to knock out. But I think that there is definitely value because, like, we are on a team with One Alliance with Mike Owens. And every time we get on a call, Mike is like, he's cast a vision. Yeah. You know, he's cast a vision. And the part of me is like, man, listen, I get it. Can we move on? Can we move on? But he because he understands the importance of that, he casts vision really, really well.
Yeah.
So
I would like to add to that, too. The best visionaries that I've seen have such attitudes of cooperation and collaboration that it's like they're casting vision, but with open hands, or like almost with a tone of voice that sounds like a question. I'm casting the vision, but it's almost like you're asking the person, the listeners or your team, why is it important to them? Mm-hmm. I think every time we cast vision, it's okay to live in that tension, not to complain about the problems. But I remember even before Boone started, Candace and I were just sitting at a different conference and just asking, like, why? Why don't we have this for Black leaders? Mm-hmm. And here we are, I don't know, 4 years later. And I just think that that level of curiosity with mm-hmm. the vision, like hold the vision that God has given you for sure, but also with a question mark, because people will, it gives them a sense of autonomy and their own leadership, confidence in themselves when you ask the question, why do you think this is important? And then my second thing is visual examples or interactive examples. Mm. If your vision at all can be brought to the eyes of or the senses in some kind of way for your team to see it in action, even if it's on the smallest of levels, like we're getting ready to go on tour and I'm so excited because we're going to be able to actually be boots on the ground with ministries that have been listening to us, some who haven't, but it's going to be so wonderful to see firsthand impact as we've already casted so much vision. Yeah. So yeah.
Your voice is crucial, and we want to amplify it nationwide. 2024 Boone Listening Tour is coming to your city.
We're hitting Atlanta, Birmingham, Houston, Inglewood, Chicago, and the DMV.
We're looking for 12 next-gen leaders from predominantly Black churches in those cities, and we need you to bring a teenager with you.
We want to hear from you and your teenagers and use your voices to help to influence the future of next-gen ministries within Black churches across the nation. Visit theboonecommunity.com/listening tour to get more information and register today. Here in studio and virtually, we have most of our team members present, but we also have two team members who were not able to be present with us today in the studio, but we still want to give them a shout out. Shout out to Thomas Brackeen, who is the youth pastor up at Metropolitan AME Church in Washington, D.C. And Thomas says he has his hands in a lot, whether it's National Network of Youth Ministries, DeVos, UYWI. He's connected to a lot of different organizations, and he adds a lot of great value to this team. And then we also have Jay Wallace, who is a young adult pastor at Peace Baptist Church in Decatur, Georgia. So shout out to Thomas and Jay. Jay has some music. He's an artist. So we're going to have to link some of his music for y'all to check out some of his music because he's
super creative.
He is super creative, you know. And I was had a chance to see him perform live somewhere. And it was it was just like, man, I was recording. I was just like, I'm sitting there recording him like, like he's my actual little brother. But I have a question and I want to throw this question out right here to you, Jay. All right, Jay. How can technology be leveraged to enhance team effectiveness? Ooh, technology and team effectiveness. What do you think about that, Jay?
What's good, Candace and my Bloom family? I think that that's such a great question, because when you're thinking about where we are in the world in 2024, it's all about technology. And technology, in its very essence, is just a means to make life easier for us. And so when we're thinking about technology in the context of how can it help and impact team effectiveness, it can help in the effectiveness of communication. It can help in the effectiveness of community and in creativity, because we have these channels such as Zoom or where you can have meetings across the world just in the confinement of your home. Or when you're thinking about community building and how you have things like Discord, where literally you can have people from all walks of life interacting in your palm with this app, where you can play games with other people, you can meet with other people, you can talk and engage in conversation. Or when you're just thinking about sheer social media and how we've been able to, over the last 10 years or so, connect, really almost 15, 20 years almost at this point, but we've been able to connect and communicate with people in different states, in different countries, all inside, again, our fingertips. And so I think that when you're putting this in a leadership context, it just makes life easier, because you have the ability to connect, engage, communicate, but then also share creativity and grow all through the internet. And so I think that it's an amazing tool that sometimes we're scared of, but if we eliminate that fear and really lean into it, we can see the fruit of it for sure.
That was really good, Jay. I really appreciate that. You know, one thing I do remember hearing from Jay is we were having a conversation. I can't remember if it was in person or if it was a text message, but we were talking about Discord, and I was like, I think I might need to get my Discord account up. Yeah. And I created the account, and I've used it once for something, but I have not used it again. But Discord, it might be something that your teams need to lean into. All right. So next, Thomas, we got a question for you. Let's see. What is our question for you, Thomas? How does team size impact productivity?
Absolutely. I think that's a great question. Team size is very important. I believe it's important because I believe we've been in situations where we've all have been a team of one for various visions or projects or assignments that we've been given. And when you're just a team of one, it's very difficult to have the capacity to carry out all that you know that God is calling you to do. I also believe that we've been in situations where we've tried to be inclusive of a large amount of people. And sometimes that is, you know, too many voices, persons are overstepping each other. You know, maybe persons are used to being in charge. But I do believe that, you know, when it's aligned with God and with purpose, that God will give you specific people that will help hold you accountable, that will strengthen your weaknesses, that will add to areas, that will help you see things from a perspective that you wouldn't see it from. Persons that know how to see your vision in your limited vision sometimes, and also allow those persons to be able to blow it up from a bigger scale. And you're like, wow, I didn't even see it in that aspect. But, you know, having a different set of eyes to be able to look at that project, that assignment, and make it look better than what you even dreamed of or imagined. So team size is important. I believe God will give us those specific people to be able to carry out exactly what God has called us to do.
You know, right. So, you know, I think team size can go both ways. You might have a team that's large, like you're talking about, Chris, or you might have a team that's super small. But regardless, both sides of it has the potential to determine pace. Because if you have a lot of people, then it might be kind of slower because of the time that it takes to onboard them. But if you have fewer people, it still might go slower because few people can only move a table but so far, right?
Yeah. I mean, because you would think that with a bunch of people that you're just going to have all the help in the world. But sometimes, from what I've seen in the past, You can have a lot of people, but it's still those faithful 8 or 9
yep.
that's still doing the bulk of the work.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there are challenges all around that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so true. That's so true. Thank you, Jay and Thomas, for jumping in. We definitely wanted to include you all into this conversation today. So thank you all for jumping in any way that you can. And, you know, so we started out with an additional team member who's not with us now, right? I mean, she's still living, so don't say you're like she's not living. But when we first started out, it was me, Ash, Purvi, and Anastasia. Anastasia Johnson, oh my gosh, y'all. Go to arenaimpact.co.
Hello.
I'm telling you, if you are looking to build something within your personal life, professional life, you have a vision that you want to bring to life. Anastasia is that girl. You know, and I think about her in the sense of, she's one who, and this is for any team, there's some people that you bring on your team who might only serve for a certain amount of time.
That's right.
And if they only serve for a certain amount of time, that's okay.
Okay.
You know, you got to be okay with that. Sometimes we want people to come on board and we want them to be here forever for the long haul, but that might not be what God is calling them to. Yeah. Like the seeds that Anastasia has sown into Boone will be lifelong. Mm-hmm. Like some of the things that people are seeing us do were not my idea. Mm-hmm. It was Anastasia Johnson's idea. The name Boone was Anastasia's idea. Awesome. The listening tour was Anastasia's idea. It was not, that wasn't me. That's why, like, listen, we know she's rolling up the team, but we putting her on the flyer. Why? Because I believe in giving people their flowers, right. You know? And I think there's some people who have these unique gifts and are able to hop on board of a vision, help you bring something to life, even if it is momentarily, you know, and we've got to be able to, you know, she's still a tremendous supporter of the work that we're doing, the ministry we're doing within Boone. But she was just here for a season.
Yeah, I think that is like, wow, kudos to how we handle transitions on teams, because that's a super important thing. And even when it comes down to how you develop your team, you should develop your team members for the sake of them becoming better people, not mm-hmm. just for the sake of you having a better organization or a better ministry, but for the sake of them and their personal growth as a person. And then when their growth causes them to have to seek an opportunity that you don't have the capacity to afford them at that moment, you got to let them go.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I've been in environments where that was done well, even with myself, and where it wasn't done well. And so I've learned how, you know, that feels when it's not done well. Mm-hmm. But then I also have experienced where, you know, I just outgrew the opportunity to serve where I was. And the people were like, hey, we thank you for what you have brought to the team.
Yeah.
But now it's time for you to go into a place where you can be more challenged yep. and you can grow even more.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's a big thing we got to keep to the forefront of our mind as we manage our teams.
Yeah, that's good.
And it's also in our Black churches, realizing that your loyalty lies to your calling from God, not to your church.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because a lot of leaders fall into not growing out because they're loyal to the house.
Yeah.
Your loyalty should be to God. And if you grow up, it's okay to grow out and use your skill set in other places. Not saying just run away from your church, but I'm saying being open to being planted in other gardens to where you can help it grow.
Yeah.
That's right.
And these are God's people. This is God's ministry. Because sometimes your team members are going to, they're going to wander. They're going to get curious. They may want to go to another church or another organization. Yeah. So how you handle that is super important. And also your disposition in that is super important. Mm-hmm. Like the same way God sent them to you, he will send you what you need to get the job done.
But
this
we don't always believe currency. That.
We don't. But you know what shifted that for me was the conversation that Jesus had. I think it was with Peter, where he was like, do you love me? He was like, yeah, I love you. He's like, if you love me, feed my sheep. Like, these are his sheep. Right. And what I do, I don't do it just because I love the sheep. I do it because I love him.
Yeah.
He says, if you love me, then you'll feed them and you'll let them go and you'll let them grow. Right. You're doing this because you love me. And that loyalty, like Purvi just said, has to be to the will of God and to God first.
Yeah. You know, every time I have an opportunity to sit down and really just like talk with our team, I'm just constantly blown away by the depth of knowledge and wisdom that exists within our team. You know, before we go, I want to ask you all in a second to offer some final words, any kind of last thoughts you have before we close this episode. But for those of you all who've been rolling with us over the course of this season, you're going to hear a lot more from our Boone team. You know, Pervy and I, yes, we have renewed his contract. He will be back again for season two. Grateful to serve alongside my brother. But you also hear from some more of our team members, because there's a lot of different ways that they serve and the gifts that they have that I just want to be able to share with you all. All right. So, y'all, any last thoughts before we wrap this episode on building a volunteer team? Any last thoughts, any last wisdom that you want to share?
Yeah. So I know I keep quoting a lot of things from my church and my pastor. I do serve an amazing pastor, Dr. Darius Daniels. It's just, I've learned so much in my time in being there. And I love this episode because it just speaks to the heartbeat of our ministry and just how we approach ministry. Mm-hmm. And one of our philosophies is that we don't go as far as our dream. We go as far as our team. Mm-hmm. And so that's something that really just sticks with me. And I want to share that with you as we close, is that, hey, you can have a great dream, but you're going to need a team. If it's anything worth having, you're going to need a team to help you get there. So invest in your team. Make sure you pour into them. Give your team the same energy you give students as it relates to their development and discipleship as well. And I think you'll see some amazing things happen.
I'll piggyback on what Chris said. If you're going to build an amazing team, if you're a leader, you can't be afraid to learn. If you want to lead, you have to learn. And I think when we talk about volunteers, you learn how to lead volunteers better when you're poured into as well. So keep connecting with Boone as we connect you with other youth leaders that do the same thing you do. Connect with people in your community, in your region, but be a leader that learns so you can lead correctly.
You know, one of the things I would say with teams is we are always like programmed to say, okay, bring the maximum amount of value to the team. But just in line with everything we've already said, how you treat people, are we treating people like they're irreplaceable? And, you know, there's a quote that says the best gift that you can give to somebody is belief in their own potential. Yeah. And so I think that as we are picking our teams, as we're leading teams, as we're on teams and serving on teams, you know, the goal really is to be your maximum best self so that the contribution is just pure, it's authentic, and it's 100% life-giving. Not maybe 100%. It's going to come with a sacrifice, but it's life-giving to you. And to be able to have a team like that, that's when it starts to feel like family, which I think is always the goal.
That's so good. That is so good. Thank you all for being a part of this conversation today. This has been good. You know, I'm always just excited. I feel like I'm just losing my words. I feel like we're just on to something so good with this.
I'll be back in my seat. So Chris,
he said, don't get too comfortable.
All this wisdom is falling on me because I'm sitting in your seat.
Oh, the glory.
It's the pervy effect.
That's so funny. Yeah, we'll have you back. We'll have you back with us next month for our episode. Looking forward to have you back in the studio with us, bro. All right, y'all. Thank you for tuning into this month's episode of the Boone Podcast. Don't forget, the episodes drop monthly. And next month, we're talking about worship, right?
Yes. And I'm so excited I know, right?
We listen, we have a lot of cool things happening within us. Ashley's going to be on that episode. Mm-hmm. We have a special guest who's also going to be an episode. Not going to say who it is, but y'all heard at the top of this episode, our brand new intro song. We have our own song, y'all, our own intro song that was actually written and produced by my little cousin.
Oh, come on, Next Gen and fam.
Right. He grew up. Oh, my gosh. He grew up. We'll talk about it next month. But he grew up in a youth ministry at a really prominent church in Maryland, First Baptist Church of Glenarden. And he is 21, 22, and he is just doing amazing things. As we end this episode today, listen till the end. This podcast was produced by Ashley Johnson. A special thanks to our Fresh Leftovers family, DJ, for additional production support. Audio engineered by Crown Sound Enterprises. Theme song composed by T. Latrell. Edited by Jay. Hosted and directed by me, Candace Wood. And to all of our listeners, thank you for your continued support. Yeah, we strong, so I know we gon' make it, yeah. Or not of necessity, boom. Body's like riding that tunnel. Who gon' tell you down? And look in the sky, so we jump into puddles. Or not of necessity, protecting me. And children need good energy. And oil jumping, it's a cookout. And Bible dripping from the chicken grease. Take his hand, when I speak to the youth, they gon' understand. Black soldier for show, I got a plan. Black excellence, stand up if you a fan. Speaking of next gen, you growing out of the presence, but into your presence. We ain't got it all, but you always accept it. And let me see the paper, I'm just buying this message. And see them graduating, another angel collecting. And please sit down, let me give you direction. And stand up tall, we gon' cure the depression. This your space, gotta say it's a blessing. Boom, time of the morning, good day, it's that time of the week. Shoot ties, thank God, repeat. And life gets hot, but I don't wanna see a body in the streets. I'd rather see them smiling right through the teeth. See that gets to me, I wanna see them in the ministry. Every lesson's a stress relief. And growing seeds, yeah, we sprouting like sesame. We forget, we don't check receipts. Born out of necessity, boom. Conversations, every challenge you know we've been facing. Yeah, we strong, so I know we gon' make it, yeah. Born out of necessity, boom. Bodies like riding that tunnel. Who gon' tell you down? And look in the sky, so we jumpin' through puddles. Born out of necessity, protecting me. And children need good energy. And oil jumping, it's a cookout. And Bible dripping from the chicken grease. Take his hand, when I speak to the youth, they gon' understand. Black soldier for sure,